All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it's written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Just 10 verses later, the Bible said, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. He saith unto Peter, Simon, why sleepest thou? Couldest thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Jesus came out the first time. He couldn't understand how they could sleep. When he came out the second time, asleep again, there were no words in their mouth to answer him. For multiplied eons of time, Satan has taken the things of God and perverted them to his own use to deceive and destroy the never-dying souls of men. Tonight, it's my intention to briefly step into the kingdom of darkness and borrow a title from his world and sanctify that title and use it to move and anoint the souls of this church. The title comes from a popular movie. To discuss the movie would be futile. I have no earthly idea. Never seen it. No idea what it even involves. But I do know that supposedly it borders on a horror story. While the fictitious minds of Hollywood have painted a horror story and affixed a title to it, I assure you that it isn't really nearly as horrible as the reality that its title is played out within the church. I'll bring to you a message tonight. I'm going to call this message the Silence of the Lambs. I'm going to preach to you tonight about the silence of the lambs. I want you to lift your hands in your heart and talk to the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I've worshiped with you, and I fully intend for you to listen to me. I didn't worship and dance and shout with you tonight so that you could sit down and say, well, I came, shouted, and I've had church. The need tonight of the service is more than just shouting. I come first and foremost tonight to proclaim to this church, to the city of Silsby and to the world, that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient one. He's all-sufficient. Thrilled me tonight to see you, Brother Dale, rejoicing in the Lord. He is the all-sufficient one. Sometimes we look at our frailty, but He is the all-sufficient one. Before we delve into one single homiletic expression of a sermon, let it be forever settled in the hearts of this people that you've got a preacher that stands in this pulpit tonight and believes that Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient one, and He's everything that I'll ever need. He is the all-sufficient one. It's no wonder that when Moses foresaw the needs that they would encounter when he would lead the children of Israel out of the kingdom of Egypt, that he would look at God and say, Lord, what do I tell Pharaoh? And when we get out in the wilderness, what do I tell the people of God? And As I make my way through the expanse of the wilderness into the land of Canaan, what do I tell the Canaanites? What do I tell my world? And from that day on, God simply said, you tell them I am. From that day on, every man of God has had a right to stand before congregations like this and tell you, if you need direction, God said, I am the light of the world. If you need protection, God said, I am thy shield and thy buckler. If you need an example, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you need your soul saved, God said, behold, I am thy salvation. If you need a friend, Psalm 73 says, behold, I am continually with thee. If you need wisdom, God said in Proverbs, I am understanding. If you need encourage, God said, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of your valley. If you're hungry, God said, I am the bread of life. If you're weary, God said, I am the strength of the weary. If you need a way made, God said, I am the door. If you need new life, God said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you need touch my truth, God says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I tell you today, He's the all-sufficient one. Why don't you give Him a hand right now? Bring me all of your needs and I'll point you to Jesus, because everything that mankind needs is wrapped up in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. He is the all-sufficient one. Because of His total sufficiency and our absolute dependency on Him to supply our needs, we see throughout the Bible metaphorical relationships that parallel the relationship that we have with God. It was God that said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He is the all-sufficient one. It was God that spoke of our relationship and said, as a hen doth gather her wings under her chicks, so would I have gathered thee under my wings. You know what He was saying? I'll protect you and I'll feed you. All you've got to do is stay under my wings. He is the all-sufficient one. God viewed His role with the needs of people. And He spoke to us in the Word of God in Isaiah and said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work is before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd, and all the lambs shall He gather underneath His arms, and shall carry them in His bosom, and gently lead them that are with young. I've come to tell you tonight, He's the shepherd, He's the all-sufficient one, and I am the lamb. He is the all-sufficient one. And we can look at that tonight and we can lean back and rest and say, He's everything that I need. He's my strength. He's my help. He's my deliverance. And that's right. We can look at that and say, He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's right. We can look at Him and say, He's the light, He's the lamp, and He's the fire by night. And that's right. We can look at Him and say, He's the Word of God, He's the manna, and He's the epistles written on the hearts of men. And we'd have to say, that's right. But let me tell you tonight that in all the comfort of knowing that Jesus is the all-sufficient one, we better be careful that we don't forget the role that we play in the plan of God. He is the all-sufficient one. But there is a role that we have to play. Yes, He is the vine. But we're the branches whose thirst has to pull the sweet nectar from the vine into the branches. He is the all-sufficient one. But He needs what comes from me. Yes, He is the hen, but it's the hunger of that chick that reaches up into the very mouth of that hen and finds its sustenance. And I tell you tonight that He is the all-sufficient one, but I'm the one that's got to reach into the mouth of God and take the bread of life and let it sustain me. And yes, He is the shepherd, but let us never forget that we are the lambs that needs to compel the shepherd into action. We are the lambs whose voice touches the heart of a shepherd. It's the very basic nature of lambs that they in themselves are absolutely and totally defenseless. Any of you that know about lambs, any of you that know about animals, you'll understand this. They have no claws as an eagle to rip away the flesh of the enemy. They have no fangs like a wolf to tear asunder the body of the enemy. They have no quills as a porcupine to pierce the attacks of an assailant. A lamb has no poison to spit as a cobra does to blind the enemy. You see, the only thing that a lamb has, Brother Jimmy, to defend itself is a voice. Its only hope of survival is to lift up their voice and summons the shepherd into action. All that a lamb has to lean on, he doesn't lean on his teeth. He doesn't lean on his claws. He doesn't lean on the quills of his back. And he doesn't lean on the venom of its poison. But I tell you today, what the animal leans on, what the lamb leans on, is nothing more than a voice that can be lifted up and summons a shepherd into their world. The only weapon that was given to a lamb is a voice that'll move the shepherd and say, I'm here to find out what the problem is. I'm here to help you. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to move you. I'm here to find the needs and answer them. The only defense that a lamb's got is a voice. Yes, he's the all-sufficient one. And I'm just the lamb, but don't ever forget that it's the voice of the lamb that causes the shepherd to stand to attention. When the lion's mouth was filled with the lamb plucked from David's flock, don't you forget for a minute that it was the voice of the lamb that caused that shepherd to jump up and drive himself into action to slay that lion. When the bear plucked a lamb from the shop to the flock of David, don't you forget for one minute it was the bleeding of fear that came from the mouth of that sheep that drove that shepherd named David into battle with the bear. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I love the shepherd. I lean on the shepherd. I need the shepherd. I can't make it without the shepherd. I've got to have the shepherd. But God has equipped me with a voice. God has equipped me with something that I can use to get his attention, to get his mind, to get his will, to get his protection. He's given me a voice. And I want you to hear me today, that nothing moves God like the voice of the lambs. Nothing that moves God in this world today like the voice of the lambs. There's nothing that'll cause the shepherd to rise from his throne and come to my aid like the voice of the lamb. You know what God told the church? He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Don't take with you script. Don't take with you person. Don't take with you money. Hear me well today when I tell you that God never equipped a sheep with money. He never equipped a sheep with a scroll. He never equipped the sheep with a purse. And I'll go a little bit farther. God never equipped the sheep with teeth to gnash across the tear. But God did say, I'll send you forth as a sheep. I'll give you a voice to pierce the silence and to summons the shepherd whenever you're in need, whenever you're in trouble, whenever you need me to come stand by you. I'll give you a voice, and all you've got to do is pierce the silence. He is the all-sufficient one. But it takes the voice of a lamb to move him. He has all power in heaven and earth. But it takes the voice of the lambs to bring the power to your needs. I've come to preach to you today that all it takes for God to move in your world is the voice of a lamb. All it takes for God to move in your world is to hear the lamb cry out and say, I'm here, Lord. I've got a need. I've got somebody here that's got a problem. I need you, God. He needs the voice of the lambs. That's why God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. But the next verse goes on to say, and now shall mine eyes be opened, and my ears will attend to the prayer that's made in this place. God was saying, all I need is the voice of the sheep to heal their lands. All I I need is the voice of the sheep to begin their sin. All I need is the voice of the sheep to come in and supply the need. But what do you do when the lambs are silent? God spoke in one place and said, because of my indignation and my wrath, at what instant I command a nation to be torn down or a kingdom to be cut asunder, it shall be done. But at the very moment that my people cry out unto me and repent, I will hear their cry and I will repent of my evil ways. I'm trying to tell you tonight what God was saying. Is there those that stand on the brink of judgment? God said, at what instant? At the very instant that I hear their cry, when I hear the cry and the voice of the Lamb, I'll shut down everything else. I'll cease my judgment. I'll come to their need. All I need is the voice of the lambs. But what do you do when all God has is the silence of the lambs? God said of the needs of mankind in Isaiah 41:17, when the poor and the thirsty seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord God, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God was looking at the people of God and saying, I can take care of your every need. God cried, I can take care of your need. But let me ask you a question tonight. What happens to the thirsty soul when all God hears is the silence of the lambs? Oh, you've got to hear tonight what my heart's trying to say. God saw mankind afar off, and He desperately wanted to draw them close to the safety of His side. When He said, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon them, on Him, and all that call Him in truth, He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him, and He'll also hear their cry and save them. But a lonely destruction awaits those that are too far away from Calvary, when all God hears is the silence of the lambs. I've got tonight to get a hold of your spirit. I've got tonight to get a hold of your voice. David spoke in his most distressing time, a time that could have been the destruction of his entire kingdom. And he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and He heard my cry, my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Then the earth shook, and the earth trembled, and the foundations of the hills were shaken, because God was wroth. But I want to ask you tonight, who can shake your world? And who can move the mountains out of your way? If God cannot find a voice, if God cannot hear a voice, if God cannot hear a cry, who's going to shake your foundation? Who's going to open up the prison doors? And who's going to move your mountains when all God can hear is the silence of the lambs? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that God intended to destroy a nation one day. And the scripture bears out that when God intended to destroy them, that there was a man that stood up in their midst and began to intercede and cry out to the Lord. And the Bible said that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, and the land was spared for the cry of that man. But I ask you today, what happens to those that have nobody that'll stand up? What happens to those that has not a man that can stand up? I want to ask you today, what happens to those when all God hears is the silence of His lambs? But who can shake your world if it's silence? Who can move your mountains if it's silence? Who can heal your lands when there's silence? I'm trying to reach down into the heart of this congregation tonight to say something to you. I've come tonight to tell you that while this world needs the church, that God, this world needs the church tonight more than it ever has. More than this world needs political reform. More than this world needs welfare reform. More than this world needs peace in all of its nations. This world needs the church of the living God. You better hear me. I don't expect you to shout. I don't expect you to run the house, but I do expect you to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord tonight. This world needs God, but more than they need God, they need a church, because they don't understand God. They can't find God. They can't discern God. But if God can ever get them in contact with the church, God said, I'll find somebody that will link up heaven and earth. I'll find somebody that can bind them together. They need the church because their church is the link to God. And right now, more than any generation before us, we stand with heaven on one side and damnation on the other side. Right now, more than any generation that's ever existed before us, we've got heaven at the right hand, and we've got damnation at the left hand. And you and I stand in the midst of humanity, and we've got to take them from the jaws of hell and put them in the portals of heaven. Let me tell you where this church is. It stands between the glories of heaven and the terrors of humanity. It stands between the power of the Holy Ghost and the influence of the world. It's the church that stands between the liberty of salvation and the bondage of sin. It's the church that stands between the blood of Jesus Christ and the brokenness of humanity. Who is it that can stand in the gap? Who's able of joining the sinner to salvation? Who's capable to join the broken to the blood? Who's capable of joining the hands of the bound to liberty? God told a lost and dying world, if you need to find your way, if you've lost your way, what you've got to do is find the footsteps of the flock. God, why didn't you tell them to look for eagles? Why didn't you tell them to look for great mighty stallions? God, why in the world did you tell them to find the flock if they wanted to find you? Let me explain the mystery to you. They have no bared things. They have no flashing claws. They have no poisonous quills. But if you ever find the church, they've got a voice that the shepherd will listen to. If you ever find the footsteps of the flock, they've got a voice that can cry out, and God can hear them. They've got a voice that God will listen to. They've got a voice that will cause God to stand up off the throne. I tell you, He said, you find the church because the Lord still hearkens unto the voice of a man. God's put the world on our doorstep, and heaven help us if they perish because of the silence of the lambs. It was the broken heart of God that wept aloud in one of the most fearful scriptures in all the Bible, when God was dealing with a people that were worthy of the judgments of God. They had sinned enough that God said, I'm going to kill them. They'd sinned enough that God said, that's it, I'm going to destroy them, there's no hope. And though they deserve to die for their sins, the Bible lets us know that God, as it were, walked onto the edge of eternity, and He looked down towards the church, and He kept His hand behind His ear, and He began to listen off in the distance. God, they deserve judgment, I know, but my mercy drives me to the edge of the church. They deserve to die, God, I know, but there's something about my goodness that drives me to the edge of the church. Do you hear me tonight? The Bible lets us know that He kept His hand to His ear and He listened for somebody to give Him a reason to show mercy to those that deserve judgment. You listen to God's broken heart cry when He said to them in the book of Ezekiel, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I poured out indignation upon them, and I consumed them in the fire of my wrath. Do you understand what that scripture is really saying? God was saying, I was looking for one person among them that would lift their voice up as an intercessor. All I needed was somebody to break the silence and plead for mercy for a people that deserved to die. They didn't have to die. I had plenty of mercy. I just didn't have a request. They died because of the silence of the lambs. I had plenty of mercy. I just didn't have a reason, because nobody prayed. He said, I sought for a man. They deserved to die. They deserve to fall and fail by the wayside. They deserve to be destroyed. But I sought for a man. Is there somebody? Is there somebody that'll stand up? Is there somebody that'll cry out for that soul that doesn't deserve to live? Nathan McDonald, I want you to stand up. You want to know why that boy's sitting in this church tonight? He didn't deserve what he has. He didn't deserve anything but the judgments of God. But he sits on this pew tonight because there was a family over there and there was a preacher that stood up in a time of trouble and said, I can't hold my peace. I've got to cry aloud. I've got to give God a reason. I know he deserves to die. I know he deserves to go to hell. But somewhere I've got to break the silence. I refuse to let a soul be lost because of the silence of the lambs. Where are you, church? Where are you today? Isaiah, what breaks the heart of God? I could hear Isaiah echo back the answer through the eons of ages in Isaiah 59 when he told how God looked for a reason to show mercy to humanity, but he was left brokenhearted. God said, I'll show mercy if they'll cry out. You listen to me. If you forget everything else that I say in this message tonight, you remember this. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Yes, he's God. And yes, he can do anything he wants to do. But God needs a man. God needs a man. God needs somebody to pray the prayer. He said, if you ask, I'll do it. If you knock, I'll open. If you seek, I'll let you find. But God needs a man. It takes somebody to cry out. It takes somebody to weep. It takes somebody to cry. It takes somebody to open the door. God's going to do it all. If we can only find somebody that'll stand up and say, here I am, God. I'll give you my voice. I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my emotions. How do you break the heart of God? The Bible said God looked around for a reason to show mercy to humanity, but he left brokenhearted. Why? Because the Bible said, and he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. God was able. God was willing. But God was brokenhearted and defeated because of the silence of the lambs. Where are you, church? I want to ask you a question tonight. Don't you think we've wallowed in this thing long enough? Yeah, we've had a few problems. Yeah, the pastor struggled. Yeah, the wife had surgery. Yeah, some of you have been through some trials, but don't you think we've wallowed in this long enough? If you're not careful, you'll get so introverted that we'll hold on to the blessings of God and we'll forget about a dying world that's dying on our doorstep. I tell you today, God forbid that they die on our doorstep when all it takes is to break the silence of the lambs. Somebody to cry. Somebody to love them. Somebody to reach for them. Somebody to reach out to that broken heart. Somebody's got to break the silence. But if not, you can be assured of this much. Judgment's waiting on them. God's waiting on somebody to pierce the silence.
There's no silence! Makes me think maybe everybody in the city is guilty tonight.
It's so quiet in here. It makes me think that obviously all of your family's living for God. It's so quiet in here tonight, it makes me think that surely all of your friends are full of the Holy Ghost and ready to go if the rapture takes place tonight. Yeah, it's silent, but God forbid that he ever has to overcome the silence of the lambs. Lift your hands up and talk to the Lord right now. No, it doesn't surprise me tonight that this atmosphere is in the church. Doesn't surprise me at all. If you want to see a picture of the church of this generation, you don't have to look any farther than the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, inside the garden is a God that's in agony over the souls of men. Inside of our garden is a God that bleeds for a chance to show mercy to the dying souls of humanity. I wish I could tell you today that all that caused God agony was the cup of sin that was killing mankind. But the fact is, there was something there that troubled God more than the cup of sin. It troubled Him so much that God got up off of His knees and laid down the cup of man's sin and marched outside of the garden 3 different times. God, what are you doing? God, don't you understand that that cup of sin is everything that you've ever wanted to accomplish? Don't you understand, God, that that cup of sin that you want to take into your body and die on a cross, that's everything that you've ever wanted to do in your life? God, the whole reason that you came to earth was to take up the cup of sin. What else could possibly trouble you enough to leave the cup behind in the garden? Why, God, do you keep going out and looking asleep in church? Why, God, do you keep going to the edge of that garden and looking at a sleeping congregation? Why, God? Jesus, your entire purpose from the foundation of the world was to take the dreaded cup of sin away from humanity. Salvation's at your fingertips. Mercy's in your hand right now, God. What is it that holds back your hand? What is it that keeps hindering the plan of God? God, what was it that keeps driving you out of that garden? Why do you keep going to look at a sleeping church? I'll tell you what it was. God arose again and again because there was only one thing more horrible to the ears of God than the screaming sins of humanity. And that was the silence of the lambs. The only thing that torments the mind of God more than the screaming souls in hell tonight is when He looks at a sleeping church and hears the silence of the lambs. God was saying, I'm looking at the sins of the world, but all I hear is the silence of the lambs. I'm staring at the beasts of evil and tear the souls of men, but all I can hear is the silence of the lamb. The screaming pressures of sin drives me to sweat blood, but I can't understand the silence of the lambs. I can show mercy. I can forgive sins. I can take that cup into my body. But I can't understand people that are forgiven who sit silent while others go to hell. Yeah, I can take it into my body. I can go to Calvary. But Calvary won't do anything if the lambs are silent because I hearken to the voice of a man. They slept in silence while they stood between the glories of heaven and the terrors of humanity. They slept in silence between the power of the Holy Ghost, the influence of the world. They slept in silence between the liberty of salvation and the bondage of sin. I've got to tell you tonight, Abundant Life, the only thing that troubles God more than the sins of the world is the silence of the Lamb. Slipped away. We haven't lost no saints that I know of. Not many anyway, but we've lost a lot of visitors. Where did they go? I'll tell you where they went. They went by the wayside. God would have showed mercy. God could have brought them in. God could have saved their soul. But they're where they are today because of the silence of the lambs. I've got to tell you, Abundant Life, the only thing that troubles God more than the sins of humanity is the silence of the lambs. I want to tell you, the only thing that torments God more than evil reigning in your city is for indifference to reign in your hearts. The only thing that troubles God more than the broken lives of the wicked is the unburdened hearts of a church. The only thing that torments God more than the sin that damns the lost is the lethargy that damns the church. The only thing that concerns God more than the weeping hearts of wounded men is the dry eyes of an unconcerned church. And the only thing that torments Him more than the terrible cry of a man going to hell is the simple silence of the lambs. God's in torment tonight. He's tormented by saints. He's tormented by burdenless saints that sit in pews and talk during the altar call while somebody's trying to find God at the altar. Hey friend, don't tell me you're saved if you'd rather talk in the back of the church than come to the altar and pray with a soul. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. He's suffering because of the silence of the lambs. Let me go a step further. There's something wrong tonight when you never weep for a struggling soul on the altar, whether they're in the church or they're out of the church. There's something wrong when you'd rather be a spectator in a pew than a participator at the altar. There's something wrong when saints refuse to lift their voices in worship. There's something wrong when choir members have loud voices and silent hearts. There's something wrong when musicians have screaming instruments and silent spirits. It's the silence of the lambs. God is trying to blow. God's trying to pull. And God's walking in the midst of the congregation seeking for somebody. But He can't do it because all He finds is the silence of the lambs. Father, there's some in this building tonight with indifferent attitudes, unburdened heart, and dry eyes. I want to tell you there won't be any indifferent attitudes when God tells that unsaved spouse, depart from me, you worker of iniquity and everlasting torment. While you sit here tonight with an unburdened heart, I don't even hesitate to tell you that there won't be any unburdened hearts when the angels drag off that unsaved child towards the lake of fire. While you sit here tonight with dry eyes, and it shocks me to look around this building and see only a handful that are even moved to a red eye or a tear on your cheek. But when you sit here tonight with dry eyes, let me assure you there won't be any dry eyes when you see that loved one fall screaming into the flames. But then it'll be too late. Then you can't touch them. Then you can't move them. Then judgment is sure. Then judgment is fixed. But now you can pierce the silence. Now you can make a difference in the souls of men. God could touch a very soul right now at this very moment. But I fear instead tonight, God trembles because of the silence of the Lamb. Churches pray and lost souls come in off the street and walk straight to an altar, and you've seen it too. I've seen congregations weep and get a call at midnight from a soul that wants to find God that wasn't even in the service. I tell you, God could do it right now. You could shake a sinner. You could cause a sinner to tremble in their heart through your prayer right now. But the only thing trembling is the mercy of God that's being withheld by the silence of the lambs. I gotta close. I gotta shut this thing down tonight. I gotta tell this congregation something. While God trembles because of the silence of the lambs, I want to tell you what forces this pastor to tremble. I tremble when I see God's reaction to our silence. Do you honestly let me just unburden my heart? Do you honestly think we can go on forever like we are? Do you honestly think that all we've got to do is just keep the doors open and the church will be fine from now on? Do you honestly think that all we've got to do is come sit on a pew and pay our tithes and come to the services and everything will be fine? There'll be nothing in this world for us to worry about. I tell you no, 1,000 times no, because this generation's going to die. And if we don't find somebody else, if we don't reach somebody else, do you honestly think that God's going to leave us idle in a pew while the world goes to hell? I tell you, it would be an unjust God that would let us sit idle in a pew while the world goes to hell when somebody prays a prayer of faith for me. What happens to a church without burdens? I'll tell you what happens to them. They dry up and die. What happens to a church without burdens? I'll tell you what happens to them. They sit stagnant in their pews while people begin to dwindle away and die off and young people begin to make their way out of the church. What happens to a church without a burden? I'll tell you what happens to a church without a burden. They sit still and go years without seeing one soul pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it so stalemates their spirit that when somebody comes in, they can't pray them through. They can't get them in a baptistry. They can't get them under conviction. Why? Because of the silence of the lambs. You think we can go like this forever? You think this is all it's going to take? I tell you tonight, the thing that God fears the most is not the sin in a man's life. No, no, no. God fears the silence of the lambs. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. And he marveled that there was no intercessor. And he sought for a man that could stand in the gap and make up the hedge. But he found none. So God poured out wrath upon them and destroyed them. They were destroyed being decided by the silence of the lambs. They weren't destroyed because of God's judgment. God said, I'll show mercy.
Somebody's got to cry.
I'll show mercy. But somebody's got to weep. I'll show mercy. But somebody's got to care. And if nobody will weep, and if nobody will cry, and if nobody will care, then they deserve judgment. I've got mercy, but I don't have a reason to give it to them until somebody breaks the silence of the lambs. Let me tell you what causes my heart to tremble tonight. Ezekiel, how does God react to the silence of the lambs? How does God react to indifferent spirits and unburdened hearts? How does God feel about dry eyes and lethargic spirits? Ezekiel shows us in his book, the Bible tells us that God saw the sinfulness of his generation. God was hurt. Hear me tonight. God was hurt by their sinful ways. But God was devastated by something so much more. He was hurt by their sinful ways, but he was devastated by their dry eyes and their unburdened hearts. I want to show you something throughout the pages of the Word of God. God has always wept and mourned at the sins of humanity. But God has always abhorred and hated the silence of people that could have prayed. He could deal with their sin, but God was devastated by the indifference of the church. Do you see the picture? Let me paint the picture to you tonight just as plain as I know how. God walked into Ezekiel's generation and said, your world is destroyed by sin. Your world is devastated. Sins run rampant. Sin has consumed your city. It deserves the death sentence. It deserves my judgment. Sin has destroyed the city. But the indifference of the church has devastated me. It was then that God called for angels to come among them. In Ezekiel's vision, Brother Dale, he saw angels come, six angels come by way of the higher gate, the Bible says, which you and I understand to be heaven. Of the six angels, five of them were clothed with armor, ready for battle. And one was clothed with simple linen and armed only with a writing pen. God, what you going to do? Why do you have the warrior angels, God? God, why do they have weapons in their hands? God, why does that one stand alone with a writer's inkhorn at his side? God, what are you going to do? It was then that God said, I want you to go forth in the midst of the city. I want to tell you something tonight. Indifference in a church kills God. Indifference in a church destroys the influence of God. Apathy in a sanctuary destroys the influence of God. In Jesus' name. It was then that God said, I want you to go forth into the midst of this wicked city. Angels, when you go, you're going to be surrounded by sinful people and sinful ways. But when you get into the midst of the people, the ultimate test of my anger will not be sin. The ultimate test of my anger will not be how sinful are they. The true test won't be the sin test, it'll be the tear test. Because any man you see that still knows how to sigh and cry for the abominations of Israel, anybody you can find that still cries because of sin, anybody that you can find in the midst of the city that still knows how to weep because of lost souls, I want you to take that marking pen in your hand and I want you to mark them on the forehead. Go down to the church. Go down to the city. Go down to the midst of my people. And I want you to find, and if this one knows how to cry, mark him. But if you find a dry eye here, don't touch him. If there's no burden here, leave him alone. If there's no soul crying here, leave him be. But if you can find one soul that'll weep, mark them. But if this one don't weep, leave him alone. If this one sighs and cries, mark him. But if you don't find any tears here, leave him alone. And when you go through the midst of the city, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want those that have the weapons to follow the one that has the pen in his hand. And every man that you see that knows how to sigh and cry, I want you to let that man live, because the only one that matters right now is the one that still cares about souls. The only one that still matters is the one that still cares about. If you find those that don't care, and any man that doesn't weep and cry for their sins, that man's got to die. I won't let him stay there. I want you to kill him. Brother Paul, can't you hear the angels? Angels are obedient creatures. They never argue with God. Okay, God, where do you want us to start? You want us to go start at the tavern, God? God, you want us to go start in the temple of the idols? Do you want us to go start in the house of prostitution, God? Where do you want us to start killing them off at, God? No. Oh, no. God said, I want you to start not at the tavern, not at the idol worshippers, not in the house of prostitution, but I want you to start inside of my sanctuary. Why, God? Because my mercy reaches a long way for the drunkard. Because my mercy still yearns for those in false doctrine. Because my mercy longs to touch that one soul trapped in perversion. But I refuse to continually tolerate the silence of the Lamb. Speak for them. But I will not tolerate the silence of the Lamb. Oh God. God was saying, I refuse to tolerate a murderous church. I refuse to tolerate indifferent hearts and dry eyes of a people that I've blessed beyond measure. It was God's way of saying, if you don't care that your world's going to hell, I refuse to let you survive on my blessings and feast on my goodness. You don't deserve the blessings of my sanctuary if you don't have the burden of lost souls. I want you to stand with me right now.
God, I'm just here to start a sanctuary.
You don't deserve the blessings of another good message if you can't feel the burden of another lost soul. You don't deserve the feast on one more sermon if you don't know how to fast for one more soul. You don't deserve the touch of one more anointing if you don't know how to touch one more sinner. God, what torments you more than anything else? That's easy. The silence of the lambs. I want you to lift your hearts up right now and talk to the Lord. Cry. Somebody's dying lost. Cry. Somebody's away from God. Cry. Cry, church, cry. I wonder if God's walking the aisles tonight listening for one lamb that'll pierce the silence. Cry, church, cry. I wonder if God's holding back mercy just long enough for somebody to cry aloud. Cry, church, cry. I wonder if God's amazed that your family doesn't have an intercessor. Cry, church, cry. I wonder if God stands in amazement that your loved ones doesn't have somebody that cares enough to weep. Cry, church, cry. I wonder how long we can survive with dry eyes and unburdened hearts before God pushes us away from the table. Cry, church. Cry. Don't leave God with only the silence of the lambs.